Maryland Sermon at Church.
Good morning.
I got a thing in the mail from church this week that said I needed to vote.
Yes.
And one of the things I need to vote on, Lisa knows what's coming, it asked me to request your vote on a new lighted advertising sign. So 2 days later, I received this little email. Youthful ideas at church. The elderly priest speaking to the younger priest said, "You had a good idea to replace the first four pews with plush bucket theater seats. It worked like a charm. The front of the church is always filled first now." And the young priest nodded, and the old priest continued. And you told me adding a little more beat to the music would bring young people back to church. So I supported you when you brought in that rock and roll gospel choir. Now our services are constantly packed to the balcony. "Thank you, Father," answered the young priest. "I'm pleased that you are open to the new ideas of youth. All of these ideas have been well and good." And the elderly priest said, "But I'm afraid you've gone too far with the drive-through confessional." "But Father," protested the young priest, "my confessions and the donations have nearly doubled since I began that." "Yes," replied the elderly priest, "and I appreciate that. But the flashing neon sign, toot and tell or go to hell, cannot stay on the church roof." Oh, I just thought that was appropriate for today. So don't flash your sign.
And I'll catch a saying, so we won't be flashing.
Oh. Well, what we're really talking about is the ego and moving from the ego and the fear, guilt, and shame and anger and all the other manifestations that occur from our ego that we listen to. And I've been in bed sick for quite a while. Some of you know down, and some of you call it the flu. I called it detoxing. Energy has been moving in my body big time now for several months, and it actually had me in bed for a couple of weeks. So I have been out of commission, and so while I've been doing all of this resting, I've been doing some soul searching and came to understanding, you know, that my mother and father created this environment I was raised in. And my father left Russia in 1901 when he was 5 years old through a very dark, deep night. My grandfather was already in New York as a jeweler. He worked as a jeweler for the Tsar of Russia, and the Tsar sent him out of the country before the revolution to earn money to be able to send for the rest of the family. So my grandmother took 8 children out one night under tragic conditions, and part of that was they had to walk from Kiev to the beach, to the shore, to get to a ship to go to America. And on the part of the path, there was a huge marsh they had to walk through and submerge because it was patrolled by soldiers. And so if the soldiers were coming by, they had to get under the water with reeds to breathe. And if they made a ripple, they knew they'd be shot on the spot. So can you imagine a mother with 8 children, 1 in arms, having to go through this horrifying leaving of the country? And of course, I can't imagine keeping a baby quiet without a ripple. You know? I just can't imagine how she did it. So, and you can understand the effect of my dad when he was 5 years old at the time. So they did make it, of course, to this country because I'm here. And then when he got to America, they came from New York out to Seattle. My son is on an internet nerd, and he found the picture of the Marco family, that's my maiden name, in Seattle by the railroad tracks when they got here. So he found a lot of history from the University of Washington about my family, in fact, if you're coming to Seattle. So he, however, did not stay with the family religion, and he did not continue in the Orthodox Russian Jewish faith. And he was called the black sheep of the family, and therefore was ostracized and abandoned from the rest of the family. And he was always trying to kind of worm his way in, but it didn't really go that way. And my mother, a sharp part of her story is that she was also one of eight children. And when my grandmother needed surgery, my grandmother was raising eight kids alone. And when my grandmother needed surgery and had no way to take care of the eight children, they ended up in an orphanage for a while so she could recuperate. And then later in her life ended up, because of the depression, my grandmother couldn't support all eight kids, and she was sent off to relatives in Portland where she was going to school until the money ran out. In that situation, had to come back to Seattle and then met my dad. But she was had abandonment issues too, and rejection and all the shame and guilt that goes with the fear of the being kicked out for various reasons in your family. So not only does our family background create the stories going on in our head, but also society. You know, medicine puts out there a diagnosis and says you're going to die. And we have somebody in this room today who was given that diagnosis. Her story's going to be in my book. And was given that diagnosis but didn't buy into it because she's a spiritualist, right? Mm-hmm. And she did come to one of our healings, has been to our healings and several times actually. And this the doctor, was it a year or so later, said, I must have misdiagnosed you. So you see, just because society gives us these fearful messages, we don't have to buy into them. And the schools do the same thing in a similar way by creating, limiting people's thinking. They stop creativity. You know, when the money runs out, they stop the musical activities and the drama. Anything that's creative and has positive, good energy for that spirit come to flow through the children, it's kiboshed. Or the testing. So we'll see who's going to fail. You know, it's about competition. You have to have an A to be a wonderful person, you know. I mean, that's how I was raised. So anyway, so it stops this flow of spirit and creates all this fear. And if you turn on the television, you see the violence constantly. It's there all the time, conditioning us to the nightly news. You know, it's not the nightly news. It's the nightly violence that they're talking you about. And the movies, I have a really hard time going to a good movie anymore. Most of them are the action-packed and devastating and, you know, how many are going to get killed in this movie and how much blood and so forth, blood and guts. And even plays. You know, Mac and I went to see Grey Gardens Thursday night. And we left and said, you will not believe this came out of Mac's mouth. He says, when we'd gone to Swan Lake Sunday night, he says, I'd rather see Swan Lake again than see Grey Gardens. It was about a dysfunctional family, the relatives of Jacqueline Kennedy, and their spiritual bankruptcy is what it was about. Mm-hmm. It was rather sad. And we walked out of Les Miserables at a movie when we went to see that over Christmas, and in the lobby is assault rifles on a video game. Couldn't believe my eyes. We are being so contented. Then they wonder why all this stuff's going on, you know. They're bolstering it rather than doing what they need to do. So we're also distracted with cell phones, computers, Kindles, and iPods. And you know, we were at the ballet, and Max says, we were in the balcony. All the phones and iPods and things that went, the lights went on in front of our face down lower. As soon as the ballet, the lights were on, and the people were playing or phoning or whatever. And of course, we all need jobs to pay the bills and keep the food on the table. So all these distractions keep us conditioned into fear. So these voices end up in my head because that's what I'm used to hearing. And those voices are a thought system. And those thought systems become my beliefs. And that's called your ego. Your ego is just a belief system. And thoughts are things, and you can change thoughts, so you can change your belief system, and you don't have to believe in the thoughts of the ego anymore. So when you change your system of thinking, and I've been reading The Course in Miracles through cover to cover again, this will be the third time, and one of the quotes I came across was, nothing outside yourself can save you, and nothing outside yourself can give you peace. So all of this stuff is directing our energy outside, and that's not where it's at. You and I know, sitting in this room, I'm talking to the choir, but anyway. And one of the first times I came to really have an understanding of this is when I was just going with Mac early. We've been together 12 years now. But it was about 10 years ago we saw the movie Beautiful Mind, if you remember that night. And because I was raised with a paranoid schizophrenic mother, the movie put me right back into that mindset. And so I did a lot of thinking about what's going on here. At the end of the movie, however, I hope some of you saw this. If you didn't, he was a paranoid schizophrenic scientist, mathematician, who won, I think it was a Nobel Peace Prize or some prestigious prize that was international for his mathematical formula. And at the end, he seems to be getting along just well, very fine. And somebody said, well, what happened? What'd you do? And he said, I quit listening to the voices in my head. When I was just newly divorced on my own, and in those days I was still trying to take care of the yard, and I was out in the yard and I couldn't get the cord to pull on the mower to get the grass mowed, and it was getting tall and it needed to be mowed. And I pulled and pulled and I just wore myself out, but finally the thing started going. So I mowed the grass and I sat down afterwards because I was tired, because all that pulling on the cord is harder than mowing the grass. And my voice said to me, some of you know I'm a recovering alcoholic, said, Marilyn, why don't you go in and sit down and enjoy a nice cold beer for because you actually got your grass mowed, and celebrate getting your grass mowed. You know, so I got myself to a meeting that night because I don't want to believe the voices in my head. They're out to kill me. So when I reflect back to my thoughts, and it's time to change that, you know, this is what I discovered several years back. And it's about cause and effect. So if I'm listening to this cause, I'm getting the effect I really don't want. And it's not doing anything to substantiate, support my life the way I truly want it to be. So another quote from Course in Miracles says, if you are trusting in your own strength, you have every reason to be apprehensive, anxious, and fearful. I love it. So guess what I need to do? I need to turn my life and will over to the care of God. And when I focus out of my head and I move into my heart, that's going to change the cause, and I'm going to get different effects. So now I have a new cause and a way to transform my life. The first time I read Course in Miracles through, this was 27 years ago, and I'm not really into it like I am today, so I read the words, and I'm not really sure what they're saying in those days, but I got this warm, loving, whenever I picked up the book to read, it just felt loving to me, and I wanted to read more, because whatever it was saying was love. And the next time I read it through, about halfway through the book, I said, oh, it's telling me fear is an illusion. And this time in reading it through, what I better understand is the ego is a set of beliefs that I can change. And so I don't have to buy into that anymore. I can change my beliefs and be still in my head. And when the Course says, I am a piece of God, P-I-E-C-E, I am a piece of God, it's like all the pieces came together. And that's the peace of God, P-E-A-C-E. I'm a piece of God, and I'm at peace. So then that means I have to take some action. And the Course says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it's necessary to seek for what is false. So my new book that I've just finished writing, thanks to some people contributing in here, to some of the stories in there, is the steps for moving out of the denial and into hope and into finding, instead of being powerless, but to have a life of empowerment and move into spirit. So I have to surrender all my thoughts and my beliefs, communication skills, behaviors that are from up here that edge God out of my life. I'm separated from God if I'm up here. I'm not in my heart. And then I discovered this is my inheritance. This is who I've always been in the first place. It was just my thinking that separated me from the prosperity and the abundance and the peace of mind. When I release those things that got in the way, and I can start listening for that guidance inside. And that was my insanity. I was raised to look and listen to what you were doing and follow. If it worked for you, then I'd copy. I was a good chameleon, you know, and if you did it and it worked for you, then I mimicked you, you know, because I was not raised with a mother who could raise me, so I had to find out something that was working. And in those days, I went to a church, and one of those is down the street that I went to, and, you know, and he said, well, you don't listen to that voice inside, you listen to the minister, because he has all the answers. People, I'm here to tell you that's insanity. When I listen to that voice inside, I hear the truth of what I need to do, what's right for me, and what's in my best interest. And that's where my answers are today. That's the sanity guidance I get through meditation, to that silent connection to God. And that puts me in responsibility for my life. I can no longer say, you're my problem, which I did for years to lots of situations. And then there's three fingers pointing back. It's always what I'm projecting out is the situation I'm seeing around me. And I have to take responsibility for what I'm seeing. And if I'm getting something back I don't like, what am I sending out that brought it back to me? What goes around comes around. So I have to change. And one Saturday I was sitting in this chair. I don't have that chair anymore. There's history to it. And the silent voice said, Marilyn, you must think you're a really bad person because you try so hard to be a good person. You know, and that's what I was doing. I was acting all these things to make you happy because inside, you know, if I looked good to you, then you'd think I was a good person. But today, that's changed. You know, I don't have to do that today because I am a good person. And now I don't have to send out my old fears, guilt, and shames that I listened to from years and years, but I can change that into love, and instead of sending that old projection out, I have, you know, I'm getting results of new projections coming back to me that are very, and I'm going to share some of those, that are really loving and different in my life today. I had in a situation a few weeks ago, I gave a workshop and channeled over at Edgewood, Seebeck. And a couple people were in here over there. And this lady came over to me just before I was to channel that night. And she said, do you want to talk about something controversial before you channel or after? Well, you know, I don't want to upset you. So she and I was in this really peaceful state of mind because I was really ready to go. And I thought, what in the heck could be controversial? We're in this Hood Canal, beautiful, beautiful area. I just love it. It's just so spiritual to me. And she told me her drama, and I, without even thinking about it, out of my mouth came the words, we're here to serve. And she turned around and walked away. I didn't buy into her story and create more problems. And this is happening with my clients. I do counseling and various things. I had someone show up last week and it was like, did you see the energy change, you know? Or in another case, this person was having a very difficult time and all of a sudden the energy moved. It was just these amazing things are happening. And my writing just flows out today. Now here I was the student who couldn't put words to paper for a composition. I was a straight A student, but don't ask me to write a composition. And today, you know, yesterday I sat down at the computer and something came up and said, okay, Marilyn, write a news release about that one. And, you know, had trouble getting it posted. Poor Lisa spent lots of time trying to figure out what was wrong with the computer part. But the story just was there, you know, just came like that. So I can put pen to pencil today. I'm able to catch my thoughts more quickly and not do the judging and criticize. I was raised with my mother. That's was her forte. And I've learned to move out of opinions because they come from my ego. They're part of my belief system. And I don't choose to have an opinion today because there's no right or wrong. So I don't need an opinion. It's going to be God's will, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So I leave it up to God. In the Bible, it says we'll become a new creature, and that's what I feel I've been going through. These changes have been really strange at times. And they manifest in our body's illness when you have those blockages from the fear and the other negative energies. And they take you out of being in harmony and balance. Because if you're one with God, you can't be sick. God's perfect love. No sickness. And the energy can't flow through you if you have fear, guilt, shame, angers. or any of those negative things that are maybe conditioned from someplace in your life. So I had an amazing thing happen while I was down sick in bed, because obviously the flow still is not like I'd like it in my body. So I called somebody, and she says, well, I had that chest tightness too. And she says, I did an inventory on my parents. Now, I've done these things for 27 years, people. It's not like I haven't done an inventory. Some people know how many I've done. And so, tons. So I thought, well, one more time, we'll put pen to paper, right? So I did it on my father and my mother and added my stepdad. And the dots went together like bingo. I was raised in survival, their survival. I've worked through my survival. But what I know, and it says the Bible, the sins of the father passed through the generations, and I could just feel, bingo, down to the next one, and it popped on me. And I was living, they were living their survival through me. And that was my workaholism. That's survival for me anyway. Workaholism is you keep going to survive. You keep plugging away and you keep doing it because otherwise you're not going to make it. So I discovered that I am not in emotional survival today. I don't even have to go to a doctor to get validation or comfort or criticism or whatever. You know, my mother went to doctors because she couldn't get any attention any other way. So that's where she came from, people. She paid doctors to give her attention and go through surgeries to get herself anesthetized, drugged. That's how they did mental illness in those days. So anyway, you know, I don't have to be that person today. I am emotionally secure today. She went through the depression. I learned financial disaster really well from that. Thank goodness, you know, today my house is paid for. I can get food on the table and I can have gas in the car and I'm financially stable today. I don't have to be in survival. And I was going through these different things. I don't have to live my parents' life of survival anymore. It's amazing. So I don't have to push to be of value or to feel I'm abandoned if I don't do that. I have a lot of things right now that I have on the back burner when I get through this that I need to take care of. And you know what? Before I would have been doing it anyway. And today it's, I'm going to quote Clark Gable, I don't give a damn. It's sitting there, and poor Lisa's been waiting for some work for me to sell. My last things can get on YouTube. And I haven't been able to put it together, and it's, I don't give a damn. And that's totally different to what I was raised. It's called nervous exhaustion. I have been in exhaustion my whole life trying to stay ahead of whatever that I was surviving from. And when it stopped, I just fell apart. So my body is regrouping and regenerating and coming back together. And sometimes it's better than others. 73 years of exhaustion I'm going through healing right now. And my sponsor said, Marilyn, it's okay not to work when you're sick. And I started to cry. Because my dad, my stepdad, and some people know some stories. You know, if you didn't do your work, there was punishment. And I'm not just talking about being verbally punished. I'm saying physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually punished. So you did your work if you were sick or not. And so Paulette was there when my purse was stolen at Winco a couple of weeks ago. And I call my sponsor and I tell her what happened, and she says, oh, she just brightened right up. She says, Marilyn, you're getting a new identity. and my the icing on the cake was last night, I got it. My daughter's coming to see me on Wednesday, and on the email last night, she says, I'm getting excited to come. Now, this relationship has gone through, I won't even be able to go into all of that, but she has come into a place where she's excited to come see her mother, and that's exciting for me. My son, who hasn't talked to me for 2 years, has agreed to come and be with us when she shows up for a dinner.
Aww.
Some of you know the story behind that one. I'm on speaking terms with my sister, and I won't go into all the bloody details of that one. And when I, because my purse was stolen, I couldn't pay a couple bills, I didn't have any checks, And when the bills came with a fine penalty, and I just wrote a nice little note and said what had happened, and they credited me the penalty. So I didn't overreact. Now, in the past, because of my financial insecurity, I would have just gone bananas because those were overdue. Little, we don't pay penalties. They're not overdue. So the Spirit is working in me and coming through in a much different way than it ever has before. I actually, driving home the other day down 167, now I'm not saying I'm a rich person, but inside I felt rich. And I come from a mother who really taught me, if you lose those mittens, you're not getting another pair. And that's the way I was raised, you know, and I felt rich. Carson Miracle says, be comforted and feel the Holy Spirit watching over you in love and perfect confidence in what he sees. And I want to close with something I wrote, it was in my first book, Delusions or Dragons. Tears glide down my face. I'm afraid. Frustration, fear surrounds me. A granite statue of guilt, shame, helpless as a pitiful princess. I long to leave the kingdom of suffering. Who will protect me if I walk an unlit path? What demons wait to attack? Scary, scaly, sorcerous beasts shoot flames of blame. Deceit lurks daily in dragon skin. Deception works in the age of ignorance. Dispel the doom, brighten the gloom. Diffuse this camouflage. A monster kindly speaks to me. Good morning, miss, if this dimness is day. You're brave to leave your castle's care, to travel mysterious mountains for the simple love of truth. I'm Daniel the dragon, your companion. Pretend we're on a crusade. Please don't be afraid. Dragons are devious, dramatic, dangerous. Barbecue girls scorch their curls. Spin that picture around and forget the lies. Bad press stops my success. Our rottenness grows from articles and episodes that sell papers. I'm a heavenly beacon for those in need of a deacon. Remember, I'm not bad or good. Give up this insane fad. Take charge, champion forward, listen from your heart, be smart. Wisdom abounds, guides you patiently towards serenity. Those inner messages strengthen me through bumps, scrapes along the journey. Laughter lightens lessons to learn. Faith keeps me safe as I grow in charity and charm. In the kingdom of light, clarity crystallizes with delight. Sunny enchantment, dewy roses, fragrances, honey, meadows of daisies, turquoise streams sparkle, soft winds puff passionate power through creation. It glows, jubilant celebrations ring. I join the harmony in the depths of my soul. Free at last, I am whole. Daniel, don't go. Your flames spark friendship. Shine on facts like I'm always secure, and love endures through gloom into truth. Evaporates tension like water drops. Wisdom rules forever. And the moral is, make friends with fear if you want to find success. Thank you.